Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, December 18th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira.
Here are our top stories this evening. A Zimbabwe Human Rights Association ceremony to honor outstanding rights defenders is being held in Bulawayo as activists pressed the government to do more to respect people's rights.
I'm touched and humbled because it's such an elevating and uplifting experience to be recognized for the work that you do. It's encouraging because the work is difficult. It's an honor.
MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai says he feels rejuvenated and is now pushing for political reforms with a fresh mandate following his party's October Congress.
One would describe the post-Congress situation in the party as robust, a new sense of direction, and an accomplishment under very adverse conditions.
And the international community marks International Migrants Day with calls on governments to ensure the rights and fundamental freedoms of nearly 232 million migrants the world over are safeguarded and protected.
A Zimbabwe Human Rights Association ceremony to honor outstanding rights defenders is underway this evening in Bulawayo, where several nominees are in an expectant mood. The nominees for various categories include lawmakers Jesima Jome, Joseph Chinotimba, Tamsanga Mhlangu, and others. Past winners include lawyer Beatrice Mtetwa and journalist Pindai Dube. ZimRights says the awards are not only meant to honor rights advocates, but to commemorate the International Human Rights Day. Majome has been nominated in four sets, namely the People's Choice Award category, Overall Human Rights Defender of the Year, Female MP of the Year, and the Female Human Rights Defender of the Year. Reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached Majome in Bulawayo, who says she is humbled by the nominations.
I'm surprised by the nominations, the four nominations, and I'm really thrilled and I'm touched and humbled because it's such a... it's such an elevating and uplifting experience to be recognized for the work that you do. It's encouraging because the work is difficult, and I'm really thrilled, like I said, and I just really thank God that this has happened. It's an honor, whether I will win or not, but just to be nominated is it's an honor enough.
We now have the Human Rights Commission in place. Would you say this commission is doing its level best to preserve and uplift human rights in the country?
You know, I would answer your question in two parts. I'd say, yes, you're asking me if it's doing its level best. I'll say, yes, it is doing its level best. But I'll proceed to say that its level best is very low. It's not good enough because its level is very, very, very low in the sense that it's a brand new commission that is yet to, that is yet to get on its feet. It's learning the ropes. But again, it has very, very serious budgetary constraints. It has very little financial resources in order to get human resources and to do the work that it must do. So it's not really, its level is very, very, very low. So to accept it doing its level best is not acceptable because its level is low because of its capacity constraints. I happen to chair the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs that exercises oversight of the Ministry of Justice and also the Commission in a sense related to it. So the Human Rights Commission actually came to Parliament on Tuesday and we agreed with them. They were given a very, very small, tiny, tiny amount in the budget.
That was lawmaker and ZimRights Multiple Awards nominee Jesima Jome on the line with Ntungameli Nkomo from Bulawayo.
A The leader of the opposition movement for democratic change, Morgan Tsvangirai, says the ruling ZANU-PF is on its way out of power, especially after the recent purge that claimed the scalp of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru and her allies, including former Party Secretary for Administration Didmus Mutasa, 9 party chairpersons, 7 cabinet ministers and a deputy minister. For the purge was largely assisted by the use of state media by a faction that sought to destroy Mrs. Mujuru and her allies. For example, the Herald newspaper has been reporting that Didmus Mutasa is seeking political asylum in South Africa. But Mutasa told Studio 7 today that he is still in India, where his wife is receiving medical attention. The MDCT leader says all that is happening in ZANU-PF are signs that the Revolutionary Party's time is all but over. Tsvangirai says President Mugabe has turned ZANU-PF into a family dynasty. But the MDC itself has and continues to morph through its own problems that include a second split since its formation in 1999. Tsvangirai tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu in an exclusive interview that after his party's congress, he's now pushing for political reforms with a fresh mandate.
One would describe the post-congress situation in the party as robust, a new sense of direction, and an accomplishment under very adverse conditions. I must add that this was a unique congress in that it was not just about elections, unlike Bloor Congress. This one was about discussing real issues that affect the party, the institutional reform, the policy direction, the roadmap to the next elections, and the various policy measures that would define this party as a party for change. And so I think there's a high degree of confidence amongst the MDC supporters.
You also appointed a new executive. Can you tell us what they are going to be doing?
I did not appoint the executive. You know, in terms of the constitution, every province submits 3 names to the national executive, and that the president appoints 15 members to that national executive, which then fully constitutes that organ. That's what we have done. We have also proceeded to appoint various committees. We have the executive committees that will be looking internally in the party, administration and finance, discipline and elections, and also party building directorate, which looks at the broader party building challenges. And then you've got the legal one, which is also assisting the internal. Then you've got portfolio committees, which are committees in the executive, mainly for policy articulation by various secretaries, and those I have also appointed.
How are they going to make a difference in the lives of Zimbabweans? Of course, we know that you are in the opposition.
The opposition can never make any difference. You must understand that the responsibility, the reason why people seek mandate, legitimate or illegitimate mandate from the people, is they want to implement their program. For us in the MDC, we are hoping that when we're given a chance and a mandate to run the country, we'll then implement our very broad-based, people-oriented policy program and agenda.
Of course, we cannot expect you to mourn more than the bereaved, but what is your take on what is happening in ZANU-PF?
It's total confusion. The party is fractured. It's irreconcilable differences. There has been a purge in that party, which I think will exacerbate the situation. It's too acrimonious, and I don't foresee any revival of ZANU-PF to its previous self. And they're too dependent on one man. It's now a husband and wife project, and as it has been demonstrated, they are the ones who are calling the tune. In other words, it is a family dynasty that is now defining ZANU-PF character. And it's sad from a party which claims to be a revolutionary party to a party which is almost become now a privatized.
Do you think this is going to have an impact on Zimbabweans in a big way going forward?
Oh, naturally, they are the ones who are leading the country. Whatever is done by a ruling party affects everyone.
You have also expressed vote rigging fears, Mr. Tsvangirai. What steps have you taken as a party to avert another electoral fraud come 2018?
I can tell you that we don't want to confirm the skeptics in the population which believe that we can never have a free and fair election. We want people to believe in the vote. We want people to always believe that their vote will make a very serious contribution to democracy and development. And therefore, from our experience, it means the challenge before the MDC is to ensure that the various reforms that have led to subversion of the people's right to choose must be attended to.
And that was MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe today introduced special bond coins worth $10 million into the money market, with high hopes that the move will tackle challenges of change faced by traders and members of the public. RBZ spokesperson Alson Mfiri says some Zimbabweans started getting the coins soon after they were disbursed to banks in various parts of the country. Mfiri tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube members of the public should accept the coins that were printed in South Africa because they are meant to ease change problems.
As per the governor's promise, today we're expecting everything to roll over into the current phase, which is the banks distributing the bond coins, which in total are worth $10 million. So the shops are the ones which approach the banks, and the banks give them as much as they want in terms of the bond coins.
So now, how did it go in terms of your launch? Do you think that it went smoothly, or you may expect some hurdles in the near future?
We are not expecting any problems whatsoever because we have had a positive response from the Retailers Association of Zimbabwe and from the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe. What we are currently doing is also to liaise with the organizations that I've just mentioned so that we continue to educate the people on the benefits which these bond coins are bringing to the Zimbabwean populace.
That was RBZ spokesman Alson Mfiri speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare.
Banker Samson Nhliziyo says most banks have dispersed some of the coins to the public.
Currently, the frenzy has just been to see what exactly or how exactly they look like, and basically someone to say, at least I've got a coin and I'm able to change it at any store, and also be able to get change for it rather than get a product or a commodity in exchange for the funds.
So looking at banks, can we say that there's a lot of these coins given to the banks to disperse?
I'll say definitely in all banks and in all branches, they all have the access. They've had the access of having the coins. And anyone wanting to actually get change from the banks, I think they've been availed those coins to them. And definitely, as it is law, you can't say no to the funds that have actually been issued by the RBZ. So we the banks themselves have to follow the statute of the RBZ, and they can't do otherwise.
That was Bulawayo-based banker Samson Nhliziyo speaking with Gibbs Dube of Studio 7. And Consumer Council of Zimbabwe Director Rosemary Siachitema says local people are expected to accept the coins, though there are indications that some think that the RBZ is reintroducing the Zimbabwe dollar through the back door.
I don't see any reason why it would go wrong. These are just ordinary coins that have got the same quality as the US dollar in terms of circulation in Zimbabwe. You add one and one, it gets two. You add one cent coin and another cent coin, you get 2 cents. So there's nothing really very strange about that. I think what is important is that just the market now to get used to seeing these coins and seeing how they work, and it's all system go. I think consumers are going to find this very useful. Since 2009, they've been complaining about the lack of change. And also we expect to see prices going a little lower because shops have been saying and retailers have been saying that most of the prices in shops have been rounded up to the higher denomination.
Now, we talked to some vendors yesterday. We were saying that they are skeptical about these coins, saying that, at the end of the day, it's like the Zim dollar is being brought back via the back door. So what can you tell them?
Well, skepticism is a normal reaction of any human being. It was expected, considering that there have been problems in the past.
That was Consumer Council of Zimbabwe Director Rosemary Siachitema speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up,
we take a closer look at World Immigrants Day.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says he is confident the country's struggling economy will rebound within 2 years and the ruble will stabilize after currency's dramatic fall.
Speaking during an end-of-year news conference, he said that the economy could recover faster if external factors change for the better. Mr. Putin said the nation's currency reserves are sufficient to keep the economy in stable condition. The ruble strengthened on this morning ahead of Mr. Putin's speech.
It hit an all-time low on Tuesday, prompting Russia's central bank to reassure banks and financial companies that it would provide additional capital if necessary.
Kenyan lawmakers have passed a set of controversial security measures amid shouting and catcalling after a scuffle broke out in parliament earlier in the day.
Lawmakers approved new anti-terrorism measures yesterday that will severely lengthen the amount of time terror suspects can be detained and impose harsh punishment on media outlets for distributing material deemed harmful to national security.
Critics say the new measures threaten civil liberties and free speech. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta has said only those engaged in criminal activities need to fear the new law.
Earlier today, chaos broke out on the floor of parliament as lawmakers discussed the bill. Members of parliament came to blows several times during the course of the final reading of the legislation.
And Israel says the Palestinian move to present a draft resolution at the United Nations Security Council will only delay any possible resolution to their conflict, and that the two sides must instead focus on negotiations.
The international community is today marking the United Nations International Migrants Day with calls on governments to ensure the rights and fundamental freedoms of nearly 232 million migrants the world over are safeguarded and protected. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, in his statement marking the day, called on world leaders to ratify and implement all core international human rights instruments protecting the rights of all migrant workers and members of their families, as well as instruments of international labor law. International Organization for Migration Director William Lassie-Swing called on world leaders to work hard and stop their exploitation. Throughout the world, migrants remain vulnerable and are exposed to many elements like unfair labor practices, sexual exploitation and abuse, while Zimbabwean migrants in South Africa in particular say it continues to experience xenophobic attacks and denial of basic human rights. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Zimbabwe Migrants Association Communications Manager Daniel Muzenda and Zimbabwe Exiles Forum Project Coordinator Diana Zimbudzana. Zimbudzana says the plight of migrants the world over needs to be looked at.
You'd find that in the African context, family and the extended family are actually quite crucial and important. And because now people are all over the world, the whole fragment of the extended family structure has now been torn apart.
Mr. Muzenda, your take?
Most migrants, they are being imprisoned and they are being detained without trial. And we also have got the problem of smuggling of migrants across borders. And also trafficking. There's also the problem of exploitation by employers.
Mrs. Zimbudzana, looking at the context of Zimbabwe, what are some of the day-to-day issues that they face?
It's mainly to do with the documentation. because in almost every country that a person migrates to, they find it very difficult to either continue with their normal life, like gain employment, go to school, do whatever, because then they need to be firstly to be documented. When it comes to here in South Africa, the obtaining either a work permit or an asylum seeker permit is proving to be very difficult. So these are some of the challenges that migrants face here in South Africa. But I also have the feeling that these are some of the problems that migrants are facing, even there in the U.S., because we see on the news that there are a lot of migrants who are coming that side who are also facing challenges, and we read about Europe as well, that Europe is having problems with migration, and Australia. We have perceptions of the countries where we are migrating to, that life is going to be simpler, easier, more manageable. But as soon as you get to that foreign land, you find that it's very difficult. We have people here who are working as security guards, yet they've got a medical qualification. We've got people with master's degrees who are now washing cars. It's really sad.
Mr. Mzenda, I'll pose that question to you, what Ms. Zimbudzana is pointing out. The issue that, in one respect, migrants, wherever they are, face a lot of stigma. But then also, in a country like Zimbabwe, there's the issue of brain drain.
Yeah, that's a very important point which is being brought by Zimbudzana here. There is a lot of brain drain, and as a result, the situation in Zimbabwe is really bad, especially when we look at the industry, the economic situation itself, and even the political situation. And then the other very important issue which we should consider as organization on this very important day is that it should give us a chance as organizations and as individuals to show that this is not the society we want to be, especially when it comes to the way migrants are treated. Even we should also tell the government back at home that this is not the way we would want to live. At least as organizations, try to lobby government. The governments are the ones who put laws into place, and so they should strictly adhere to those laws they put into effect.
Ms. Zimbudzana, I'll end here with you. Even looking at the structure of migrants, there are separate or subcategories of demographics, which looking at women and children or youth. What are their plights, if they're any different from others?
Oh, they have to be a difference. I'll give you an organizational difference. We have an accompanied minor in our organization who come through to us seeking assistance. I'll tell you why this is so. A 15-year-old boy who was herding his father's cows back home in Mashingo decides just to abandon the cows and follow the road and come all the way to South Africa. That is a minor. He doesn't have family here. His mother and father are not here. And he's below the age of 18. And that person is classified separately. Also, now we have issues of women who come here with small babies. They also have to be treated differently. You'd find that an accompanied minor who comes here is ultimately treated as a criminal. What governments need to do, and I agree with Mzenda on this, is that government needs to really analyze, critically analyze why a 13 or a 15-year-old boy would leave Zimbabwe and his parents and come to South Africa. That must be critically analyzed, and solutions can be found.
That was Zimbabwe Exiles Forum Project Coordinator Diana Zimbudzana. You also heard the views of Zimbabwe Migrants Association Communications Manager Daniel Mzenda.
And now we go to an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Much has changed in the 3 decades since HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, was identified. Even as recently as a decade ago, a diagnosis of HIV/AIDS seemed like a death sentence for an entire continent, said Secretary of State John Kerry. Back then, more than 2 million people died from AIDS-related causes on a worldwide basis. Today, we've cut those numbers by 34%. Back then, AIDS threatened to wipe out a whole generation, leaving behind 14 million orphans and vulnerable children. Today, we've slashed new infections among children in half. The tide has turned, said Secretary Kerry. We are fighting the disease, and an AIDS-free generation is in sight.
PEPFAR is now supporting life-saving antiretroviral drug treatment for 7.7 million men, women, and children. We're providing HIV testing and counseling to more than 14 million pregnant women. We're training more than 140,000 new healthcare workers to deliver HIV and other health-related services in AIDS-affected countries.
But the battle is not yet won, said Secretary Kerry. So the United States is intensifying the fight against this terrible disease and introducing new strategies. First, PEPFAR is collaborating with the Nike Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in a $210 million public-private partnership to achieve an AIDS-free future for adolescent girls and young women in up to 10 countries. Second, we will invest $116.5 million to strengthen the capacity of health workers to deliver life-saving HIV services and also help address other public health threats across Africa. Third, through the Accelerating Children's HIV/AIDS Treatment Initiative, PEPFAR, and the Children's Investment Fund Foundation, over the next 2 years, we will double the total number of children receiving life-saving antiretroviral treatment across 10 countries in sub-Saharan Africa. We are also working with our partners to accelerate the development of new pediatric medicines. Fourth, PEPFAR and the Millennium Challenge Corporation are partnering to invest $21.5 million toward creating country-driven local data hubs that will include data critical to controlling the epidemic, including health, poverty, and gender data, and will be used to improve strategic planning and quality of care. The United States' commitment to combating HIV/AIDS through PEPFAR and our long-standing support of the Global Fund is as undiminished as our work is unfinished. We can achieve an AIDS-free generation, said Secretary Kerry. We can and we will defeat this horrific disease.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
It's the most beautiful time of the year. Lights fill the streets, spreading so much.
It's a Christmas time once again, so send us your Christmas greetings on studio7@voanews.com so we can read your messages on air. You can also send us WhatsApp messages on 001-202-465-0318.
Shorty with you. Shorty with you.
You can also call our hotline 001-202-205-9942 and dial 11 when the phone is answered to leave us your voice messages, which we can play on air. And Chris, in that spirit of Christmas, our Gweru musician John Madubeko, whose plight was first highlighted by Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri, today received musical instruments from a well-wisher who did not want to be named. Mr. Madubeko says he is happy, he is elated that Christmas came early this year. Her daughter, Koliwe, also sings with him on the streets of Gweru and sometimes Kwekwe. Thank you very much to the well-wisher.
Time for our mailbag. Sandy, what do we have?
Briefly, Krista, we have an email here from Jekero Chitsa from Ward 5 in Chirezi. He says, thank you, Studio 7 team, for the best impartial news for Zimbabweans, but it's long since I last heard news about my political party, MDC Renewal. There is a lot of activities going on, but rarely covered. Maintain your impartiality by also covering it, as you do on MDCT and ZANU-PF. I would like to say hi to all MDC Renewal all over Zimbabwe. Come 2018, Zimbabwe will be new. That is Linia Jekero Chitsa, Ward 5 Chirezi.
And this one is from Joe Vanu Vaone of the MDCT in Chipinge South, who says that thank you very much, guys, for keeping us posted on what's happening in our beloved nation. May the Almighty Lord protect you always and shower you with his blessings. Thank you so much, Joe.
And Chris, and now we recap today's top stories.
A Zimbabwe Human Rights Association ceremony to honor outstanding rights defenders is being held in Bulawayo as activists press the government to do more to respect people's rights.
And MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai says he feels rejuvenated and is now pushing for political reforms with a fresh mandate following his party's October Congress.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Just as a reminder, please to join us at Studio 7 when Plaque Sedes and Marvelous Nhlanganya will be talking about social media, Twitter, WhatsApp, Facebook and all that it is doing to our family structure. So tune in at 9:30 for the two ladies. That's all we have for you from the English Bulletin. I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.
And I'm Chris.